have our friends Brandon and Lindsay Stewart in town with us this weekend. Pastor Brandon has meant so much to this church. In fact, we were driving yesterday and I said, this church is pastored by Josh Bingle and Brandon Stewart, really. Because so much of what has gone on in our house is because of encouragement from him challenging me, him calling me to a level of leadership that I'm not currently at. And each time I've had the pleasure of spending time with him, our church has gotten immeasurably better. And I'm praying that this weekend, through this, that we grow as a church. There are plenty of things that we do really well, and there's some things that we want to get much better at. And I'm thankful for friends in my life who can see my blind spots, who can make me better. You all need friends like that. You need friends who will tell you the truth, not friends who will stroke your ego. And Pastor Brandon tells me the truth, and I'm thankful for that. He's a wonderful speaker, a great friend of mine. So Genesis, you guys are so loud. You know, preaching is a team sport here. So I want you, just like you would with me, I want you to lean in. I want you to help my friend Brandon preach. But can we stand this morning in honor? Pastor Brandon Stewart is in town from Tacoma, Washington.
I love you. Good morning, Genesis Church. Take your seats. Pastor Josh, you forgot your Bible. How are we doing this morning? Are we good? Is anyone glad you came to church this morning? Hey, first of all, I just have to say it's my honor, as always, to be here. I love this church. I am so thankful that 2 years ago at our conference in Tacoma that I stalked your pastor until he would be a friend to me. And he was wearing, like, drop crotch joggers and hat on backwards. And I went up to him and said, you need to be my friend. And I'm really thankful that God allowed our paths to cross. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for this family and their legacy here in this city. I'm so thankful for this venue. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a home church, you belong here. You'd be crazy to not make this your home church. I love this house. I hope you know you're a blessed house to have the pastor you have and the church you have. Do you know that? Little hint, that should have been the loudest applause of the day, just so you know, just for next time, you know, for next time. Okay, but it's my honor to be here. I couldn't wait to get here this morning. And thank you so much for everyone that's helped make tonight happen. I am so excited of what God is doing through our ministry, through Team Church, through our conference. And this year we've taken some steps of faith. We've done some events around the country and have just seen God prove himself so faithful again, not just to, you know, building some kind of a ministry, but in seeing churches move forward. And tonight, there's going to be pastors and leaders and team members just like yourself from around this city that are going to be here tonight. And there's going to be someone here tonight that's stuck, that is facing a challenge in ministry. And we're just believing that more than what is said, that tonight an impartation will be made by the Spirit of God to help churches and the local church in the city of Spokane and Coeur d'Alene and everything in between really take a step forward. So I hope you'll join us tonight. It's going to be a really, really great night. Turning your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 26. I couldn't wait to get here this morning because I love this church. I love this house. And I believe that God has a word for someone in the house this morning. I don't know where you're coming from today. And I don't know what you might be facing. I don't know what your view of church might be. It certainly may not be an event center. But whatever you're facing in life this morning, whatever your view of church is and Jesus is, first of all, I want you to know you're welcome here. And you may not feel like you measure up, or you may feel a little bit out of place. Like, I wonder what people would think of me if only they knew. And I may not know your name this morning. I may not know your story. But I know Jesus and I know his story. And his story is enough for your story this morning. And no matter what you're facing, you're in the right place this morning. And before we get going, I have to say it's good to have my wife with me this morning. She just gave me the don't you dare, which I don't know what that means. I keep threatening her that one of these days I'm going to have her come up and say something. And that maybe today would be that day. I don't know. But anyways, she gets to travel with me quite a bit, and I love her. We represent Champion Center, our home church, in the Tacoma area, and we get to spend our lives helping churches and helping other churches. But we are planted and a part of a great team back home. We also have one daughter, Zane. I don't know if they have a picture of crazy Zane to throw up on the screens this morning or not, but we have one daughter, and she's nuts. And she's the best thing that has happened to our family. And we potty trained her on the road, drag her around the country. We say things like, we're going over to so-and-so's house, and her first response is literally, do we have to take an airplane to get there? Like, we've ruined her probably, but the three of us is what we do, is we love God's house and we love building God's house. So anyways, it's good to be here. Okay, 1 Samuel 26, are you there? Turn or click in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 26. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everything that you are capable of doing. Thank you that no one is too far lost and nothing is too hard for you today. I ask right now that you would align our hearts to your word, that you would align our hearts to your will, and that you would change something. Right across this room, Father, we lean in today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would do a work in us, like realign something in us, do surgery on our hearts this morning, that we would never be the same again, in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 7, I'm going to read a few verses this morning. It says this. It says, so David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. Or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and he will perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and the water jug that are near his head and let's go. So let me set the stage for you this morning. Saul is the king of the land, but David has already been anointed as the next king. David is a local celebrity. David is a local folk hero. He recently killed Goliath. So David's notoriety and his name are on the rise, and he also is anointed to be the next king. Saul doesn't like this. So Saul has been infected with an evil spirit, and Saul now has David on the run trying to take David out because David was a threat to his legacy and was a threat to his kingdom. What you have to understand, for a little bit of Bible context for you this morning, this is Old Testament. This is not New Testament, Jesus, grace, everything we sing about this morning. This is straight up Old Testament. This is R-rated movie territory, okay? So the Old Testament is just fantastic. So Old Testament law being eye for an eye. So when someone throws a spear at you, you throw a spear back. That would be their context here. So look at the story. You see the opportunity that David has, the rightful next king. He has the opportunity to put to death the man who's trying to put him to death. And he freezes. He doesn't do it. He comes across him sleeping, and he doesn't put an end to the madness. Instead, he says this weird line, don't touch the Lord's anointed. He takes a souvenir, kind of to prove that he had been there. He takes a souvenir and leaves. It could seem like he doesn't know what to do in this moment. It could seem like he just had a momentary lapse. Or could it be that David was about to project a new day for God and for God's people? So fast forward to verse 23 now, we see David is now a safe distance away. on a Judean hillside somewhere. I can just see Saul in a cave waking up to David, you know, outside of a spear's throw away. David waking up with a shout, Saul! And here's what he said. This is an incredible verse. He says this. This is David shouting to Saul. He says this, the Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now, verse 24, I have hung my life on this verse. He says this, as surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble. As surely as I valued your life today, he's talking to his leader, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble. If you want to give this message a title this morning, why don't you title this message Undercover? Undercover. Someone turn to your neighbor and say Undercover. Now turn to your second choice neighbor and say Undercover. A little disclaimer, this morning's message is not intended to be sexy or trendy. This is very much going to go against the grain of our generation. It's going to go, we have a generation that is trending towards standing up to authority. And we're going to talk this morning about the territory of what it means to be undercover. So a question to start the day out today. Do not raise your hands. Moment of thinking for yourself. How many in this room have ever been mistreated by an authority figure? And pastor just raised his hand. Right? How many in this room have ever seen a leader make a mistake? How many in this room have ever felt passed by when it came to a promotion or an opportunity? A leader gave something to someone else that wasn't as qualified, or maybe you felt overlooked. And if you've ever been in one of those situations, how did you respond? And then to make matters worse, what is the right way to respond anyway? You see, this is where the rubber meets the road so many times in our lives. I kind of look at it like this. You're in an atmosphere of faith today. This is church. This is Sunday morning. Like, you're here, and you're with God's people, and we're worshiping, and we're praying, and there's an atmosphere of faith, and I hope you leave here today feeling like you can take on the world and take on anything you're facing, because in Jesus Christ you can. But Sundays have a way of giving way to Mondays. And isn't this how Monday morning looks a lot? Issues with leaders, issues with people in authority. These can be the difficult situations of life to navigate. So if our generation is trending toward standing up to authority, we'd rather occupy a street, or we'd rather, you know, stand up to the man rather than submit. What is the right thing to do anyways? Romans 13 verse 1 says this, everyone, someone say everyone. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no, come on, someone say no. So we have everyone and we have no. Like pretty absolute, right? There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. You see, we are all people under authority. We are all employees under an employer at work. Or we are business owners under the leadership of a board or some sort of reporting structure. Thank you. We're all church members under a pastor. We're all children under parents. That should just about qualify everyone in the room this morning. We're all drivers under the amazing guidance of a police officer with a radar gun. I saw the new one the other day, radar goggles, just sitting there chilling, watching. As people under authority, chances are it's not always going to be a smooth ride. Our leaders aren't always going to get it right. So what do? When we see the mistakes our leaders make, or we feel overlooked, we feel unnoticed, what do? You see, God, I believe God has placed leaders over us. But how we respond to them determines how God can bless us and how God can use us in the future. And I want to bring to you a few thoughts this morning that have guided my life when it comes to my leaders. When it comes to the people in authority over me. And I'm just praying today that if you're facing something like this, or if you do, I'm praying today that something that we say today will set you free. And if you don't take any other note today, I want you to remember this line. This one line, I believe, can make all the difference in your life. And it goes something like this. If I'm going to get over what God has placed under me, I must first get under what God has placed over me. If I'm going to get over what God has placed under me, if I'm going to walk in victory, if I'm going to walk in God's plan and God's purpose for my life, I must first get under what God has placed over me. You see, the fact of the matter is, every single person in this room is marked by purpose. Every single person in this room, I believe God has a plan and a purpose for your life. There's a significant way that He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to take your life and use you for His kingdom. But guess what? Before you can walk in everything that God has for you, I really believe we have to learn to get under the things and the people that God has placed over us. All right, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, honoring authority provides the ultimate protection. When we choose to honor authority in our life, it provides the ultimate protection. You see, authority is many times like an umbrella. Very appropriate for this morning, by the way. Authority is often like an umbrella. An umbrella provides covering from the weather. When you're under an umbrella, you stay dry in a wet world. Everything and everyone's getting wet around you, but you stay dry because you are shielded and protected from the elements. And many times in our life, authority figures play this kind of role to us. They provide protection from the elements and experiences of life. They guide us. They shape us. They help us. You wouldn't have an umbrella on a rainy day and walk around like this. An umbrella fully available to you, yet not using it. When it's raining and you have an umbrella and you don't use it, you get wet in a wet world. You experience what everyone else is experiencing in life. And when we do that to authority, when we remove ourselves from the protective cover of godly authority in our lives, I believe that we expose ourselves to things in life God never intended for us to experience. Because many times leaders are in place to protect us. Honoring authority provides the ultimate protection. It's really interesting. I don't know if Spokane is this way, you might be, but in Seattle, so many times, in the Northwest, we just don't use umbrellas. You ever notice that? It's pouring down rain, and we'd rather walk around with a piece of paper or something like this. You know, downtown Seattle, full on suit and tie and headed to a meeting, getting soaked. Like, let's not have Seattle syndrome and try to do life on our own, try to make it on our own and expect to experience anything different than what the world is experiencing. I believe if we're going to get over what God has placed under us, we must first get under what God has placed over us when it comes to the authority figures in our life. Amen? Okay, five people. We're making progress. Number two. I told you this isn't like the trendy message. Number two, honoring authority gives you a higher perspective. When we honor the authority figures in our life, it brings us a higher perspective. Okay, moment of confession for you. And I actually learned that your pastor and I are the same way in this. I truly have a brother from another mother in him in this. I don't know about you. I absolutely hate traffic. Does anyone in this room hate traffic. Like, I consider myself someone that loves Jesus. I consider myself a Christian, but when traffic hits, I turn into a different person. Like, I turn into a demon-possessed person. There's this ramp right by our house in the Tacoma area. Just as you're too far on the ramp getting on the freeway to go backwards and do anything about it, just as you get too far, you come over the top of the ramp and you see traffic for miles headed north into the city or toward the airport. Oh, so frustrating. So maddening. Thank God for devices that we now have. We can open up an app and they access data from a satellite that tell us where to go to get there the quickest way possible. Where to go to get around traffic. You may, when you're in traffic, all you can see is like a car in front of you. You can see a length or two ahead of you, but it's bewildering. You don't know if you're going to be there for 2 minutes or 2 days. You have no idea how long the backup is, where the backup is, but in our hands, we have access to a device that is accessing data and information from a higher source. You know, back in the day, it was the traffic helicopters. Remember that? Like, you know, in the morning, the news helicopters would have to get out and fly over the freeways and figure out where the backups were. Today, we have better data. But so many times in our life, we aren't living our lives submitted to and honoring the leaders in our life, and we're not accessing the higher perspective that they can bring to us. You see, many times the leaders that we do life with and the leaders over us, many times they've traveled the road ahead of us. They've been where we're at before we got there. And there's data available to us. There's perspective available to us. But when we don't honor that, when we don't submit to it, when we don't place ourselves squarely under authority, we miss out on a higher perspective. We miss out on life perspective. And I actually believe we begin to shut down even the voice of God in our life. You say, Brandon, that's a pretty tough statement. Why do you say that? Too many young believers today are using the excuse in the line, God told me. And we have this saying at Champion Center. It goes like this, God said gone wrong. God said gone wrong. In other words, too many people are using God said as a trump card for listening to the leaders over them. And too many people are using God told me as this magic get out of jail free card when their leader's asking them to do something tough. And we don't want to stay tucked under. You know, God actually works through authority. He's actually a God of order and authority. And many times when a leader's telling us to do something, it doesn't make sense to us at the moment. Why would you ask me to get off the exit here? This is where I have to go. Why would you ask me to switch freeways? This is the direction I need to head. But sometimes your leader could be seeing something that you're not. God could be speaking to them about you in a way that doesn't make sense to you at the moment, but when we access the wisdom of our leaders and we stay submitted, even when it doesn't make sense, all of a sudden God's able to use us, because if I'm going to get over what God has placed under me, I must first get under what God has placed over me. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was, one of the great early church leaders. And the Apostle Paul made no secret about the idea that he wanted to preach in Rome. Can you just imagine him wanting to get to Rome, rent out the Colosseum, pass out flyers, Instagram an invitation, and do a big old revival meeting at the Colosseum in Rome? I mean, Rome would have been the political and cultural epicenter of their world. All of the major power centers of their world were in Rome, and Paul wanted to bring the gospel to Rome. Made no secret about it. I could just imagine it. It seems like the desire of his heart. Yet Paul didn't spend his years of ministry in Rome. Paul spent so many years of his ministry in prison. Can you imagine his frustration. Like, God, is this payback for what I used to do? You know, are you mad at me? Why life's not working out the way I thought it was going to? God, I want to honor you. I want to do something for you. Just get me to Rome. I can get Caesar saved if you can get me to Rome. Just get me there. But yet, he's sitting in prison. If I'm God, which don't we often all? Anyways, if I'm God and I'm going to use my players the best, I'm going to get Paul to Rome. Like, it just seems natural to me. It's not what happened. Like, there maybe God had a higher perspective here. Maybe God had something different planned for Paul that Paul couldn't see for Paul. I believe that God knew that if he put Paul in prison, that Paul would write. If he could get Paul isolated and alone, that Paul would write. And it was from prison that Paul penned 2/3 of the New Testament. Let me ask you, in the light of eternity, which was better, Paul renting out the Colosseum and leading a great revival at the Colosseum in Rome, or Paul penning 2/3 of the New Testament, the scriptures that we still today, thousands of years later, billions of believers later, still hang our lives on? Which was better? Sometimes when nothing's happening in your life, something's happening. Sometimes God has a perspective about your life that you don't have, and he's going to use a leader to get you there. And we don't understand it. We get bewildered by it. I just came to tell you today, if I'm going to get over what God has placed under me, I must first get under and stay under what God has placed over me. Amen? You can clap there. That's fantastic. Number three, honoring authority accelerates my maturity. Honoring authority accelerates my maturity. See, God has to put you and I through character school before he can use us. And guess what? He's going to use the tough moments of submitting to a leader oftentimes to get us there. You see, the truth is today God has a plan for your life and he wants to use you. The Bible says he's gone before you to prepare things for you in advance for you to do. So God has things for you to do. Now he's got to get you ready for what he's already got ready for you. So he's out ahead of you. He has good things for you. He's placed the seeds of those things in your heart, but you're not ready for it yet. So now God has to grow you up and send you through character school, because don't you know your gift and talent have a way of taking you to a place your character can't sustain you? And you can actually promote yourself beyond your character just because you're talented and you're wired by God, you're wired to be used by God. You can promote yourself and you can get yourself out there beyond your character. This is why we see leaders fall. We see politicians fall. Sadly, Christian leaders fall. Because gift and talent made a way for them to an extent that character couldn't sustain them. I believe it's through the obscure, confusing moments where we choose to stay planted when it doesn't make sense and stay undercover when it doesn't make sense that God is in the process of getting us ready for what he already has ready for us. We think the seeds of destiny on the inside of us are actually the purpose of God. They're just dreams. You don't even know how God wants to use you. You can't even see the good things that God has planned and in store for you. You're not ready for it yet. But you can actually get out ahead of God. And you can get out ahead of his development plan for you. You see, we live in a very instant culture today. A very instant generation. We take a picture and we expect to immediately see the image. We take a picture. We live in a selfie generation. So we take an image. You know, it's like we all gather up for a big group shot. Come on, everyone get in place. Everyone look good. Make sure your double chin's not showing, you know, whatever we say. And then we take the shot, and then everyone runs back around the other side of the camera. And what's the first thing we look for? We look for ourselves. That's right. Don't act so holy. You do it too. We look for ourselves, and we look to see, did my hair look good? Did I look too fat in that picture? Was I visible enough? And if we don't like the shot, we say, come on, everyone, get back together. Back together. I looked bad in that shot, you know? Well, believe it or not, kids, there used to be this thing called film. Film was a tricky thing because film was taken by an actual camera that you didn't speak into or text from. It was taken by an actual camera, and you had to use up every picture on the roll. And then to develop and see the image that you just took, you had to take the film, you had to take it, and you had to get into your car, and you had to drive to a store. You had to drop the roll of film into an envelope, into a box, you know, a day, 3 days, depending on how cheap or how, you know, loaded you were at the moment, and how, you know, how much you wanted to pay. And then you came back only days later to see you looked fat in the picture, you weren't visible enough, and of course, the moment's gone. The image is gone, right? We take like 500 shots in a row. You had to take one before. You only had 32 to play with. You were taking one shot and praying it was going to work out. You see, film, life is like film, not a selfie. Our lives are developed so much more like film than they are selfies. Film is developed in a dark room. Film is developed away from light, away from anyone noticing, away from anyone's perspective, anyone's interaction. Film is developed by that image sitting in trays of chemicals over time. Now follow me here for a second. If you expose that image to light prematurely, you will ruin the image. Because the image is not fully formed on that picture, and the light will sear it. And the light will burn it and ruin the image, never to be recovered again. But once film has developed long enough, once it has sat in the darkness, in the dark room, away from anyone noticing, away from anyone celebrating, once film has sat in the dark room long enough and the image is fully formed, that picture can now withstand the light of day. And you can show it off to everyone you know. And our lives are like film. So many times we sit in seasons of obscurity, feeling overlooked and unnoticed and unappreciated. It's like we're sitting in the dark room, out of our purpose, away from the spotlight, away from being noticed. And could it be that God is doing a work in you before he's going to do a work through you? And could it be that he's growing you up and getting you ready so that the image of Christ is fully formed on you? And once the image of Christ is fully formed on you, and you realize this life isn't for you, this life is for him, and when you realize that my life is to be given over to him, could it be that that's the moment where you can hit your spotlight? That's the moment where you can hit your day of promotion, and you'll withstand the light of day because the image of Christ is fully formed on the inside of you. This is what I mean when I say stay planted when it doesn't make sense, and stay under the protective cover of authority. You'll never know your potential unless you lose your life. You'll never know the life you could truly have unless you lose it under the protective covering of an authority figure in your life. Amen? If I'm going to get over what God has placed under me, come on, I must get under what God has placed over me. Amen? Amen. Number four, last point today. Honoring authority gives me a heightened sense of uniqueness. Honoring authority gives me a heightened sense of uniqueness. Okay, millennials, we have been told if I follow a leader or I work for a big company, or Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, lose your life. We think if we do that, we've been told we lose our identity. We live in this generation that celebrates uniqueness, that celebrates non-conformity. You know, to work for a big company is to, you know, work for the man. And you just become a robot. You become a company man. And that's really disdained in our culture today. And I'm all about being someone being unique and having a personal expression. But we have used that as a vehicle and a way to dishonor authority in our lives. We assume we're going to become a robot. We're going to lose who we are. I have found the opposite to be true in serving Jesus and staying under the protective covering of my leaders. I have found the opposite. I have found the more I submit to my leaders, the more I tune in and listen, the more I lose my life to serve someone other than me, I have found the more uniqueness God is able to pull out of me as a result. I have found that when I give my leaders full access to my life, that my leaders are actually able to pull things out I didn't even know were there in the first place. You see, I've given my life to ministry. Ministry is my work, my occupation, you know, my call. And if I had my way, like the way ministries turned out for me in some ways was not the way I planned on it. You know, my wonderful 10-year plan, right? Like, you don't know. If I had my way, I would have been the rock star worship leader that had the next platinum-selling album. Like, that was me. You don't know it, but you're looking at the next great thing to Christian music on this platform. You were unaware, but he's standing right in front of you this morning. Like, that was my, I liked the big Sunday mornings and the big things. And when I came on staff at our church, my pastor said, I need you to lead small groups. Okay, I love small groups. Lives are changing small groups. But pastor, it doesn't look too much like a stadium. Come on, I'm supposed to be packing out stadiums here. Everyone wants to see me, my gift, my thing. I'm a closet musician, you know? Like, this was me right here. I'm really jealous this morning. I'm ready to get over here and look at everything you got set up. This is awesome. The super geeks of the world right there. What I wanted to do wasn't what my leader needed me to do. And so I had to give me up if I wanted to be on our team. So I spent my years, my best years on our staff, doing everything, things that looked about the exact opposite of what I really wanted to be doing. Sitting in rooms of 8 to 10 people, doing small groups when I wanted to be on the big stage, singing, leading worship, whatever. You know what's funny is today I feel more used of God than ever. I get to travel the country. I get to, you know, really, really see churches move forward. I'm so thankful for the way life and ministry turned out. But like, what has this weekend looked like? It looked like a whole lot of small little rooms with 8 or 10 or less people in them sitting there, you know, talking shop, talking leadership. Like, I feel used of God, and could it be that my pastor was on to something when he asked me to do what he wanted me to do, even when I didn't understand it? Like, could it be? I'm just making the case. Could it be he pulled something out of me I didn't even know was there, something that was actually crucial for my destiny, something that was actually crucial that I would need for God to use me? And could it be our leaders have that kind of foresight? I'm just asking you the question today. And if you're going to get over what God has placed under you, I don't know what you might be facing with your leader. I don't know what might not be making sense right now. I'm not just talking about the leader that you voted for, or the leader that you like, or the leader that's the most popular. I'm even talking about the tough leaders. I'm talking about the tough stuff. When you stay under the protective covering of a leader and you give it over to God, I'd rather be promoted by God than promoted by man any day of the week anyways. I'd rather be marked by God than marketed by myself or marketed by man any single day. So when it's not making sense, and when the way forward isn't making sense, could it be it's the perfect moment for you to trust God? Let me say this as we close today. I know that there could be someone in the room today that's facing a very real situation that is wrong or illegal. Someone in the room could be in an abusive relationship, or you could be in a relationship where a leader is asking you to do something unethical or illegal. And I just want to say today that if that's you, this message does not apply to you. Just so you know, you need to get help. and this church can help you, and these leaders can help you. So come find someone to talk to someone. If you're in an abusive or illegal situation, we can help you, and there is freedom for you. Now, let's put a period on the end of that sentence. 99% of us are not in that situation. And the tough situations we're facing with leaders are things we need to ask for God's perspective on and allow God to promote us and take us further.